Hare Krishna. So, Guru Prabhu, I'm Jagat Purush Das.
Jai.
And we have been asked to reflect as to the significance of Srila Prabhupada's journey. So for me, Srila Prabhupada's journey from India to Boston, then to New York, and then around the world 14 times. But especially this journey from India to Boston is a symbol of the consciousness that is the foundation of our movement and the foundation of true spirituality in whatever name it may come. And that is the consciousness that we are the instruments of the Lord and that we will sacrifice anything for the service of the Lord. And there is nothing which is impossible in the service of the Lord and the Spirit, in the service of the spiritual master. So for me, this journey that Srila Prabhupada took, in which he experienced two heart attacks, he was going to a place that he had never been before and that has just so many unknowns. And yet, Srila Prabhupada came with not only determination but enthusiasm to bring Krishna bhakti, devotional service, to the world where maybe no one will take it and maybe no one will hear. But it was the wish of his spiritual master that he come, and therefore he came. And for me, and I think all of us, this sense of duty to the spiritual master and sense of sacrifice and ready to do anything, and not to think small, but to think big, always, and to know that nothing is impossible for Krishna, therefore nothing is impossible for us, so long as we remain the humble, submissive instrument of Krishna. So this is what the journey signifies to me, and I hope that someday I will embody just an ounce of that consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
It's nice to see the water. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yes.
I'm Bhakti Mark Swami, your servant. And I'd just like to say that I had the good fortune to walk at the edge of the pier with Radhanath Swami, Anurtama Prabhu, and Piyari Mohan. We were wondering all this while why his name is Piyari Mohan, and suddenly we're on this pier. And
hey!
So we looked at some of the history, and we know that many people came from all over the world. You know the history of, since the 1600s, basically. Loads of people came by boat to land at this harbor and others like in New York for a better world, a better existence, and many of them were genuine refugees. It was really the promised land, and we can say that for Canada too. I have to put a plug in there for Canada. Halifax Harbor, Port Authority, many people came for a new promised life, and the one person that I guess is not known yet, because it's our responsibility to have him be known, is this Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who came with a particular purpose, not to establish himself in any financial or economical way or anything like that, but with a very different viewpoint. He came to change the world, to alter the consciousness of people and the culture of people. That was his intent. Imagine somebody coming and saying to us, now no meat, no fish, no eggs, no gambling, no family planning, etc., all these things. All kinds of things that people have never heard of before, out of the blue, wow. And here is somebody in our analysis of him, and I'm sure a lot of devotees have been deliberating on Prabhupada's contributions. He was really at the cutting edge of everything. Animal rights, Ahimsa philosophy, reincarnation, vegetarianism, the Kirtan movement, of Vedic enlightenment. You know, the list is really pretty endless. We spend a long time just developing that list. So his contributions are incredible, and we can look at how it is slowly changing the world incrementally, and we can also look at how it's changing me as an individual personally. And I think everybody here on this boat would agree that our lives have been changed for the better. So when we see all those flags at the common, at the pier, representing different places in the world, we also understand, I think it's significant that Prabhupada really was a man for the world, and he came to change the world and to make it a much better place. So tackling Kali Yuga, it's what it stands for, it's remarkable what he did at the age of 70. And after a hard struggle, that's such an inspiration for us. Has anybody ever gone through seasickness before? Dizziness? I have. I fell off my bunk bed, you know, when I was 5 years old going to Europe. And anyways, much worse, Srila Prabhupada went through an incredible endeavor to help us, and he definitely touched a lot of people's lives. And our responsibility is to make him known and to let people know what he has done for the world to make it a better place. Thank you.
Viva!
Thank you.
Namaste Sarasvati Deve, Gaudavani Pracharani, Nirvishesha Shunyavani, Ashpacham, Dejapanavati, and Jai Dvaita Swami. My god brother, Abhiram Prabhu, recently told me that Srila Prabhupada had said to him that giving up his family life was difficult. We sometimes think of it as sort of an easy thing. His wife said, "Tea or me," and Prabhupada said, "Well, that's it." But he said that actually it was very difficult to give up his family. But he did that. He gave up his family life. He went to Vrindavan. And then he gave up Vrindavan to come to the West. He said, because I have a duty to perform. My spiritual master has given me an order, and I have to carry out that instruction, that order. One time in the 1960s, after Prabhupada had come to America and had another heart attack, and then had come back to America, another of our god brothers, Madhusudan Prabhu, wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada saying that now your health is not so good, so better that you recover, take your time to recover and not exert your energy preaching. Something to know about. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back to him and said, "My dear boy, if I didn't preach, where would you be?" So we can reflect that in Prabhupada in his old age, despite all difficulties, gave his full energy for carrying out the instruction he'd received, and we're all the beneficiaries of that dedicated work. And Prabhupada said that if you feel indebted to me, then you should also preach, spread this Krishna consciousness. There will be difficulties, but we have to think, how can I carry out this duty? How can I repay this debt? Those of us who are older, our time is running out. And Prabhupada's example is particularly fitting for us, because in his old age, he took such pains to carry out this mission. And those who are younger, first of all, you have no guarantee that you're not old, because you don't know how long you'll live. But may you all live a long time and use your youthful energy and your old energy, your whole life, for Krishna's service, for Srila Prabhupada's service, and in this way, benefit others, make your own life glorious, and carry on the legacy given to us by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Next.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namani Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shandivadi Pascha Chante Satarini. When...
What is your good name, sir?
I forgot. Ramapad Swami. This is mild. When Garuda Prabhu was asking us what did this crossing of the Atlantic Ocean from one continent to another to come to the West mean to me, two things came to mind. One was Srila Prabhupada's own expression, the songs or poems or prayers that he wrote while still on the Jaladutta before he departed, encapsulates, for me personally, what Prabhupada's crossing means. This inexplicable balance of seemingly opposite transcendental moods. One, complete humility, at the same time, complete confidence, because the confidence in the instruction of his spiritual master, the mercy of Krishna, the capacity of Krishna to make mission impossible possible. He said it in his own words so eloquently that the international coordinator of ISKCON 50 suggested, so I, being dutiful, I followed his suggestion in different venues to take those two songs that Prabhupada composed while still on the Jaladutta and sing them and share them and discuss them. And Prabhupada was conveying his transcendental mood, which I took as he was communicating to us how what our mood should be to also assist him and be successful in assisting him. And these, I shared the last couple of days, I heard at least in two occasions with my own ears, Prabhupada in a class referring to these songs, quoting the Bengali, explaining the meaning of that particular line, the necessity of being empowered, the necessity to be empowered, the necessity of being completely dependent, free from any sense of ahankara or doership, just, as others have said before me, being an instrument. That's a powerful position. It's not at all a weak position. It's the position to receive transcendental empowerment. As we say, Srila Prabhupada was a Shakya Vesha avatar, and how did that become possible? Complete humility, complete dependence, and complete confidence in the instruction of the spiritual master. It must be carried out. In a humble way, he would say, let me try. But on the other hand, complete confidence it would be successful, somehow it would be successful. And even if not successful, it was successful because it was carrying out the instruction of the spiritual master. So the significance of Prabhupada's crossing the ocean and arriving in America has that significance embedded within the songs or the prayers that he wrote. And also, as Gurudev said it several times, I was thinking specifically of my experience of interacting with Prabhupada for the first time. And, you know, little did I know, because I didn't know who Prabhupada was. He was Mike Trivikarma's student at the University of Buffalo, and Prabhupada came, and there he was in the middle of the Fillmore Room with Allen Ginsberg, and I didn't know who he was. But the impact just completely transformed my life, and the decision to become engaged in full-time devotional service was another one of those just completely transforming experiences, similar to the question the Buddha was asking. The significance of Prabhupada's crossing was for completely unknown persons, myself and so many others, risking their life, sacrificing everything, moved by not only a sense of duty, but read those songs very carefully, deep sense of compassion, praying that Krishna somehow empower him, that his words can be understood by an audience that is a very challenging audience. So, the significance for me is what my life and devotion to Krishna, what caused me to decide to live in an ashram and assist Prabhupada in a full-time manner for 45 years so far, is just to assist him, to out of gratitude for the sacrifice that he made, make sacrifice. That's the significance for me.
Thank you so much. I don't mean to be professorial, but many of you know I'm a university professor, and I love this assignment. What is the significance of Prabhupada's voyage and arrival to us personally? Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, all of you. Let's continue.
Caused this mercy and given the name Rajanath Swami. I am just reflecting 50 years ago. Srila Prabhupada was on a boat, but not like this. It was a cargo ship. Filthy, dirty, just carrying cargo. There was one little compartment for passengers where he was. After 36 days at sea, heart attack, seasickness, he came off that boat right here at the Commonwealth here. And if we, from our heart of hearts, just meditate to try to relive what that must have been. As far as we know, the first American he ever met in his life was the immigration agent. He was alone. Nobody even knew he was here. He had nothing. And now, a beautiful boat, 1,000 devotees, celebrating. Hundreds and thousands, millions of people appreciating all over the world. On the other side of this journey, Toronto, we just had a festival. Srila Prabhupada boarded the boat with his son, Vrindavan Chandraday. Just the two of them. And three other people with him, who just worked for the steamship company. 50 years later, 30,000 people gathered together in Calcutta to celebrate. And while there, Vrindavan Chandra, his youngest son, told me something that was interesting. He boarded the boat Jaladutu with his father. And just before he was about to get off, Srila Prabhupada gave him about 40 rupees, he said, and said, "I'm not going to be able to exchange this in the West, so I'm giving it to you." Vrindavan Chandraday got off the boat, and when the boat started moving, he said he cried incessantly. It's his father. Almost 70 years old, with nothing and no one, on a cargo ship. The next thing he heard from Prabhupada was from Boston. This is what he told us. He said, at Boston Harbor, Srila Prabhupada, by the captain's arrangement, was able to send him a telegram. It said, "I just had heart attacks, and I'm really sick, and I'm really ill, and there's no doctors I know, and I have no medicines, and I have no money. With that money I gave you, go to this particular medical shop in Calcutta and get this Ayurvedic medicine and try to send it to me." And he did so. That was the humble beginnings that I believe Srila Lord Shri Krishna Sri Radharani arranged. Srila Prabhupada was about to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world when he landed in Boston. And Krishna wanted to create such a drama, just like his pastimes with Vrindavan, so that forevermore the world will know that there is a true devotee. Through the most difficult times, Srila Prabhupada's compassion burned so deeply in his heart. And all he asked of us is we accept what he has given us and to share it with others. Here in Boston Harbor, let us deeply reflect, meditate, and pray in our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada and make a sincere commitment to reciprocate with his love. Thank you very much.
My name is Guru Gurangadas. Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutari, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kiramini. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guru Vani Pachani Vishnu Shri Vashati Vishnu. We've been tasked to answer what is the significance of Prabhupada's journey to America and his arrival Boston for me. Simply put, conceivably, Prabhupada came for me. And by coming for me, he came for you, and he came for everyone. He came to collect us. He came to assemble us. He came to teach us. He came to save us. On September 19th, 1965, I was a foolish high school student sifting through the vain sands of material knowledge, and having acquired no wisdom, had no clue as to what my life was for. And because Prabhupada came, I have a glimpse. I have a roadmap. There is a plan. And because Prabhupada did that for me, who ultimately I'm most insignificant, we say that, but think about it. The Prabhupada would come for me sounds pretentious. And yet that is the measure of Prabhupada's merciful reach, that he came for me. We can each believe that. We can each say that. Because if he came for me, he could come for you, and if he could come for you, he could come for him, and if he could come for him, he could come for her. And if he could come for him, her, you, and me, he could come for all of them. All of us. And if we remember that, then we have a debt to pay, and we have a life to give, however long it may be, or short, to make that attempt to repay the debt. And we all know what that means. We all know exactly what Prabhupada wanted. If you want to know me, read my books. Disciple, grand disciple, and generations thereafter. It's all laid out by Srila Prabhupada. And our job is that we are tasked to pay back to Srila Prabhupada the enormous gift that he gave to us and to the world. And let us wake up every day remembering that. And then we will always ride on this boat in the company of our brothers and sisters, the large family we never knew we had. And every day will be a Prabhupada arrival festival in our heart. Hare Krishna.
I'd like Srimati Malati and Srimati Vishaka to make their way up here while Swamiji speaks. Is that all right if I insist on that? We have some very, very dear female disciples of Prabhupada here, and I want to hear from them. Yes, indeed.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhajulay Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Bhakti Namaya Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Namaste Shriyavari Pasta Chavasta. My name is Narayana Swami. If you're from Boston, you might have heard my name before, but most people in America probably don't know me because I don't come here too often. But
you're here now.
But I'm here now.
Yeah, right.
You guys reminded me of that. It's a good thing he did. I probably would have forgotten. I'd like to say, you know, just a few words in context of what Guru Prabhu has requested or assigned to me to speak, as well as to everyone else, is the significance of Srila Prabhupada's journey to America and what is it that it means to me. When I reflect on it, I actually oftentimes quote and speak about a commentary Srila Prabhupada has given in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was in relationship to Lord Brahma's prayers for creative potency. And in one purport in that section of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains about Lord Brahma's prayers and how he was always conscious of his subordinate position. And Prabhupada took advantage of that to explain that fortunate is that person who is entrusted with responsible work. And if that person is always conscious of his subordinate position to the Lord, then being conscious in everything that he does, that subordinate position, he will be successful in his efforts, whatever those endeavors are. And that is the criteria of the success. And he also gives the example that if a person, even though he performs something and externally the result may look very good, but if he's not conscious of his subordinate position, externally it may look good, but it's not done nicely. And while reflecting on that, that commentary of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I tried to draw a parallel to what Srila Prabhupada did by coming to the West, and how his example, not only at the time of his arrival, coming, his journey to America, arriving in America, being completely, totally conscious of the higher order, this is descending to him through the instructions of his spiritual master, and his full dependence on Krishna, is so beautifully illustrated in Prabhupada's Markandeya Bhagavad Dharma. Essentially, if you read Markandeya Bhagavad Dharma, you capture that mood of Srila Prabhupada's total helpless dependence and conscious dependence in everything that he does. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "In all activities depend upon me, work always under my protection. Such devotional service, you should be fully conscious of me. If you're conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditional life by my grace. But if you don't work in that consciousness and act in false ego, not hearing me, you'll be lost." Prabhupada embodied that consciousness. And although Prabhupada embodied that consciousness in his journey to America, being always conscious of his subordinate position in everything that he did, and of course we know the result did come out wonderfully, but he was so consistent from the day he arrived in America to the day that he departed from this world. He taught us the perfect example of being conscious of being subordinate to the will of the Lord and to the order of his Guru Maharaj. It's very significant for me. It really is a lesson that I meditate on constantly, that externally something may look very nice, but if I forget that I'm Prabhupada's servant, just as Prabhupada taught us that he never forgot he was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's servant, if I forget, whatever may appear externally is not very nice done. It's insignificant. I thank Prabhupada every day for that example, and I pray that I may someday become a proper representative to follow that example that he's left for me in his journey to America and in his journey to this world. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
There's some sunblock going around. If you're white, consider using it.
Swamiji, you're so caring. Yes. Yes, there's a public sunblock going around. Okay, very good. And where did the new one go? Oh, very good.
You want to come on up here?
Yeah.
Let's see how we can do this. Step over here.
And right through here.
Yeah. I want to get you a little bit in front of
you. You can have stand in shape.
Okay, right there.
Okay, good. Okay. Let's see here. Himayo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasaya Mutale Shivate Vakavirata Swamanata Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharane Nevasesha Sunyavadi Paschachari Satarane. My name is Anutama Das. I'm one of, actually, Prabhupada had three disciples named Anutama, and the other one is also here. One of them, and it's a lady Anutama on the West Coast. So Prabhupada liked that name. And it was a good name because we're still actively serving. So we thank Prabhupada for saving us. Prabhupada said once, he said, "It is all because of my enthusiasm that this movement is going on." And when we think about Prabhupada's arrival here in Boston, we think of the enthusiasm and the determination it took to make that journey. So he explained that because of my enthusiasm, you have all had a chance to take to this Krishna consciousness. So we just want to thank Prabhupada for coming and saving us. As others have said, we're on this boat ride with many brothers and sisters. Some of us, we don't know each other. We have grandchildren,
grand disciples. I see some of my god brothers and god sisters. I met one devotee, Guru Garanga. I haven't seen him in 40 years. 40 years. We were together in Switzerland 40 years ago. And now I get to be with him again. I was so happy to meet him again and see that he's happily serving Prabhupada. So we are all indebted to Prabhupada. We will continue that debt, paying that debt, working on satisfying, fulfilling the desire of Prabhupada. As Prabhupada said, it is not anything I have done, it is all the blessings of my Guru Maharaj. So similarly, we also feel that way. We do nothing, we only try to help. So that is our goal, to help Prabhupada in his mission. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Vacharna, Nirvasesa, Sinyavadi, Paskyana. My name is Vishaka Dasi, your servant. My husband and I, and some young people, Laura and Krishna Shakti, the four of us, are attempting to make a documentary film about Srila Prabhupada's legacy in life. So for that purpose, I've been doing research. As much as possible, we wanted Prabhupada himself to tell his story. So I went through lectures and darshans and morning walks, and I made what I thought was quite an amazing discovery, in that when it comes to Prabhupada himself talking about his heart attack, maybe once or twice he spoke about it, as part of our ISKCON lore, as it should be, but Prabhupada himself did not emphasize that. And then when it came to his meeting his spiritual master in 1922, he spoke about that repeatedly. We have pages of transcripts of what happened at that time. And then when it comes to the Krishna conscious philosophy, we have books, volumes and volumes of books. So in this way, I felt Prabhupada was also being the Acharya, in that he's not saying, oh, I risk so much for you, I sacrificed my life, you should be so free. No, we discovered that, and we're expressing our awe of what he did. But he himself, his mood was different. He wanted to give us this rich culture, this rich knowledge. That was his major focus. Om Agyanatam Ramavasya Anjanatam. I know myself, when something traumatic happens to me, I want my friends and my family to know all about my risk and something, you know, my life was almost lost. But Prabhupada's mood was not that. So that was something very extraordinary. And I was appreciating that about his legacy. I hadn't realized it before I started this search. And then it really impacted me, that he was here to give, and he gave all the time the philosophy, and how to live it by his personal example. All glories to his time.
Thank you,
sir. Sisters and all the assembled devotees. So, our taskmaster has
feelings because I'm experiencing some dizziness. Some.
Sit down.
Yes,
you can sit
down.
If you need
thank
to
you.
Sit down.
This young lady's not ready. No, it's okay. It's an ongoing thing at the moment. Not related to the bone, actually. So you had charged us with trying to express what, how we've been impacted and transformed by this crossing of Srila Prabhupada from the Bay of Bengal to the eastern seaboard of the Atlantic Ocean in a very simple way. He, I'm speaking personally, transformed me from a so-called human animal and gave me the knowledge of what human life is intended to be for, how it was intended to be lived, and the means to do so. So I'm still struggling to follow those instructions. However, in thinking about this crossing, for me, it's more his words that bring it to life. Of course, we have the Jaladutta diary, and we're familiar with that. But there is also a few letters that he wrote quite soon after his arrival, one on October 14th. And he described the situation for him, first coming to America and his entrance into American life as a unknown sadhu from India. And he explained that the people of America are now experiencing something new, referring to the teachings that he was presenting. They're experiencing something new. And he said that he was preaching some days for 1 hour, 1 hour and a half, half an hour. And he explained how their English, our English, was a little different from his English, and therefore a little hard for him to understand. But his English was a little difficult for them to understand. But nonetheless, they were hearing. And he said, they seem to like my English. He described an article that had been in the Butler Gazette newspaper, which he described as one of the largest publications. If you knew Butler, Pennsylvania, it was like a little town that had been, it had seen better days. So it wasn't like the New York Times or the Times of India, but, you know, for that area. But they had given Prabhupada prominence. And they had put his photograph. And Prabhupada himself had provided the title for the program. It was Ambassador of Bhakti Yoga to the West. And he had put it in capital letters. And they were very reverential as they explained what he was doing, how he was doing it. And they said something very interesting. Obviously, the information had come from Srila Prabhupada. But they explained how he had brought books that had been translated from ancient scriptures, biblical-like scriptures, and they mentioned that he had 60 volumes. So, of course, we know at that time, they said 60 volumes were translated, and we, at that time, we knew it was the first canto in three parts of the Bhagavatam that in reality existed. There was Easy Journey to Other Planets. That was, but very notable, because we hear about that visit he had, the exchange on a park bench in Central Park, where he was speaking to some unknown person that was later determined to be, I think, a conductor of a of a bus, not somebody who is highly elevated per se, not even the bus driver. And he told that person that he had so many temples and so many books and so many students, disciples. At that time, he didn't even have an address. He didn't have a zip code, really. But he was expressing all these things. We were only separated by time. So he was seeing, even from the beginning, as he got on this boat. Right now we're on the Jaladuta with Prabhupada, so not this exact boat, but he was seeing into the future and the welfare. And then he was describing a little bit of his experience in America, or crossing from the crossing, how he crossed through the Bay of Bengal into the Indian Ocean, went out into the Arabian Sea, and he crossed the port side, the port of Port Said was on the other side. Suez Canal. So on the other side of the Suez Canal, then he crossed the Mediterranean Ocean, and then the Atlantic Ocean. So there's all these seas and oceans. I crossed 12,000 miles, and I became so sick that I did not know if I would reach the other side alive. And then he explained that when they came through the canal at Port Said, which was on the other side, the captain purchased a small stove. It's like a hot plate. And even though he had requested vegetarian meals, he said he couldn't eat them. He was so sick. He fasted continuously 8 to 10 days. So when he got this hot plate, he said, at last I was able to cook something and I was able to eat. If the captain had not done this, I might not have survived. And I think maybe in the Jaladuta diary, he explained what he cooked, char char, this, you know, intentionally slightly burnt at the bottom. And he said he was able to eat that. So he said, I struggled alone, you know, to reach. So then he continued. He was telling how the people, he was describing the people in America, and he called them, they are ubra in nature, means uncultured. He described them as ubra. And then he described his trip from New York to Butler. It must have been in the evening or the night, because he said for 500 miles, this non-stop, continuous light from the cars. He said it was almost like daylight, the amount of cars, and that there was no need for flyovers because everybody was going so fast. He said not less than 50 miles an hour. And he said, for the first time I have spoken in a church, and they liked it. And he mentioned the housing, and then he mentioned that, he said, the Pope has come to New York. I watched on television. Television is an amazing thing. From one room you can see the whole world going on. And then he gave the quote about how people waste their lives in such foolish endeavors. At night they spend their time usefully trying to enjoy their senses. But all of this I have come to do on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, meaning the history of Prabhupada. Then I'll just finish. But just like Lord Chaitanya gave his prophecy that my name will be chanted in every town and village. So in a second letter that was written approximately a year after being here, and he's described the young people that have come to him. He was describing how in our country it's very common to impregnate women, then take them to a doctor and abort the child. He said, this is common. You cannot imagine. You know? And he said, these young people who have come, so they're educated. And whereas they used to indulge in, you know, intoxication and wine, liquor, meat eating, gambling, and this illicit sex, they're giving this up. They've given it up. And so now they're taking, it is described, so they never knew before what was rice, dal, chapati, spinach. And they're enjoying very much. And they, he's explaining that I never expected so much. Their sadachar, their reverence to him. I never expected so much. And then came the part where he said that in the future there will be preaching all over the Western world by these young Western devotees.
Thank you so much. It's 4 minutes before Prabhupada arrives in New York City 50 years ago, and to honor that, I would like to have Radhanath Swami lead just a light. Yes. No, no. Everyone should stay sitting down, but just a light. A light of Bhajan Kirtan as Prabhupada arrives in New York.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya
Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Aschadyadi Satharine
Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine
Aishna Prabhupada
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gopakta Vrinda
Jaya Sri Krishna
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari.
Hare Krishna.
Arrived and made so much sacrifice to come to us. But he was also delivered. Jaladuta means the water messenger. So he was also delivered as well to us. We will continue our reflections.
My name is Subhav Las Das. I think I've been speaking to you while sitting down, if you don't mind. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamne Namaste Saswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pachachaste Starne. Professor Gurdas has given me a different assignment, what I'm going to speak about, but I do follow his instructions. But before I start, let me hear from all of you. Once, please lift your hand three times and say Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Now, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Tell you how fortunate I have been by meeting Shri Prabhupada and Shri Prabhupada coming to Boston. I could tell you where I would have been. The culture in America and Canada and the West has been normal to meet and all that, do all nonsense things. But I came from a Vaishnava family in India. I come in 64, early 64, and I am just following all the rules and regulations. And but once I get a job and money, I said, oh, there it is, I am their freed man also now. And I'm doing all the nonsense. And could you imagine where I would have been without meeting Srila Prabhupada? And how fortunate I have been? The most fortunate person you are seeing. And all of you are so fortunate too to know about Srila Prabhupada. You see? So if you look at Srila Prabhupada, let's go to a material example. You know, when you want to turn on a light or a fan, you don't go to a plant where the electricity is done. You are all part and parcel of Srila Prabhupada. How you became, how it is, because it is mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Because in 75, and I said, Prabhupada didn't talk about his difficulties. But 75 in Vrindavan, he said one word, he keep it crying every day. He said, Subhav Las, you should call me lovely Subhash Chandar, with a Bengali name. Even after the initiation, you call me Subhash Chandar. Bahut mushkil tha. It was so difficult. What he went through, you can't even imagine to come here. We will quit the next day, but what he did, you know, in Vrindavan, he'll walk for printing. You know, this is all Leela Amrita, but when Prabhupada was saying from his heart, the dogs are barking and he's walking at night, there's no light. This was our Prabhupada. What he has done for us. So what brings us this obligation to us? We have obligation to our father and grandfather. Most of our disciples have done their time. They're doing it. But the boat is in your hands now. So please, please, please serve Srila Prabhupada. And your life will become successful and you will become the most fortunate just like us. But my God brother who is sitting here, Prabhudampur, he told me something. Srila Prabhupada is not only merciful. He is the most merciful, and the most merciful. Please take that mercy. He has opened the door back to Godhead. And now it is our duty just to step in. If I come to your house, what stupidity will be there? You open the door and I stand outside. Hello, hello. What? Come in and join and serve Srila Prabhupada and your life will become successful. So please thank Srila Prabhupada for coming to Boston in spite of all difficulties. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Thank you.
While the next speaker is coming up, I'd like to request Chintamani and Srimati. Are they here somewhere? Okay. Make your way up here gradually. Oh, and where's the signing
Where's the thing that... it's gone to the back?
It's here.
As, okay. Maybe not. Oops.
Thank you.
Be sure.
नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी के नाम नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणी डियर शिला प्रभुपाद प्लीज एक्सेप्ट माय मोस्ट हम्बल मैसेज एंड टू योर लोटस फीट अगेन एंड अगेन शिला प्रभुपाद आई वॉन्टेड टू ग्लोरीफाई यू ऑन दिस ऑस्पिशियस डे योर अराइवल इन वेस्टर्न वर्ल्ड इन बॉस्टन But I didn't know how to glorify your glories. So last night, in the hotel room, I wrote few words on the hotel pads. So I'll read those to you. I thank Sri Sri Radha and Krishna for blessing me by giving me a guru like you. You came as a boat for us to cross this material ocean. What would have happened to my life without you? You showed me the path to our real home, back to Godhead, and you told me the procedure to get there. We are forever in gratitude to you. Srila Prabhupada, you are the genuine guru. You are the real disciple. To follow the instructions of your guru, you took charge to spread Krishna consciousness in Western world. With nothing in hand except your chaffron clothes, shoes and cane to walk over the earth. You are the pure devotee of Krishna. To spread Krishna consciousness, you faced any and every obstacle that came on your way, regardless of your personal comfort or personal interest, and you did it. Seeing your austerity, purity and sincerity, Krishna came to support you with his full forces. Your desires came true. And Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. You have changed the lives of many, many people. Your movement is going and growing more and more. This kind of movement, Hare Krishna devotees, and your books are known all over the world. Srila Prabhupada, you changed my life. The day I see your picture, the strong desire came in my mind that I want to touch the lotus feet of this Mahatma who has changed the lives of many, many Western people. And Krishna made the arrangement. In 1975, we took 2 weeks holidays and went to Chicago. And there you were. Every morning, Subha Vilasa was going for the morning walk. And in the evening, we'll go to attend your classes. One day, everybody was gone, and we were sitting. And you asked Subha Vilas, why you're sitting? And Subha Vilas told you that my wife has come all over from Toronto to touch your lotus feet. And then, Prabhupada was so kind, he removed his dhoti from his lotus feet, and he said she can touch. And I touched his lotus feet, and my desire was fulfilled. And since that time on, with your mercy, with your blessings, my family and we are trying to serve you. Please bless us, serve you and Krishna more and more. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Very crowded, wonderfully crowded, beautiful day.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kinamani Namaste Saraswati Deva Gaurvani Pracharane Nirvaseshunyavadi Paschata Desitarne Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Together in order.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I was asked by my god brother that how you came to Krishna consciousness, which devotee you met. I came to Krishna consciousness by a divine arrangement. I nobody preached me about Krishna, nobody gave me any book about Krishna. It was the arrangement of Krishna that I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada. Almost it was first meeting about my name. I was massaging Prabhupada. I passed some comments about our first Prime Minister of India, Mr. Nehru. Prabhupada said, oh, you are very intelligent. Prabhupada says, your mercy. He said, what's your name? I said, my name is Yogendra Kumar Sharma. From today onward, you are now Yogendra Das. My name, first meeting Prabhupada gave me. And few days later, I got the Brahmin initiation. Giraj Maharaj.
Yeah,
so, when fire sacrifice took place in Bombay, the devotees were getting Brahmin initiation also. Giriraj Maharaj, that time Brahmachari, came to me. I said, why you want Brahmin initiation so quick? I said, I want. You remember? So Prabhupada then gave me the Brahmin initiation also. Devotees, Srila Prabhupada, there is one our Acharya Srila Vasu Ghosh Thakur. He is saying about Lord Chaitanya, Yadi Gauranga Haito Tabi Ki Haito Kemana Dharitamane. If Lord Gauranga was not there, if he hadn't appeared, then why I could have taken this body? So I changed this song little. If Prabhupada na Haito Tabi Ki Haito Kemana Dharitamane Bhaktir Mahima Premara Sima Jagati Janadake. What is the gift of Srila Prabhupada to the whole world? Bhakti. Prabhupada gave bhakti. Unmotivated and uninterrupted. Devotion. And this was very much lacking among all of us. And Prabhupada was such a magnanimous personality, such a wonderful personality. He embraced everyone, embraced the whole world. When Srila Prabhupada once came to England, and when white pressman came to Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji, what for you have come to England? English people think that England belonged to their father. So what was Prabhupada's reply? Prabhupada paused for a little bit and then he said, you Britishers stole everything from India. That's true. But you forget one thing. And this white pressman is wondering, what do you forget? He said, you forget the culture. I have come here to give you the culture. And in US, one yogi came to Prabhupada, and this yogi said, Swamiji, what for you have come to this country? He said, I have come to preach Sanatana Dharma. He said, what do you mean Sanatana Dharma? Prabhupada explained four regulatory principles, get up before 4 in the morning, chant Hare Krishna. So this yogi is saying, Swamiji, if you want to preach to Americans, then you have to put on trousers and shirt, necktie, and learn to eat with a knife and fork. I don't think this Americans are going to listen to you. You know what was Prabhupada's answer? He said, I didn't come here to follow them. I came here to make them follow me. This is a wonderful Prabhupada. Actually, my god brother spoke wonderful, very nice. I humbly, with a straw in my mouth, pray to all of you, please glorify this great Vaishnava. You know, like Swablas was mentioning, many devotees say, Prabhupada was a pure devotee. I said, no, he was not a pure devotee. Then he wondered, who he was? He was more than pure. More than pure. He's very, very special Vaishnava. Lord Chaitanya made this prediction. Prithivi Tetra Yatra Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachar Hoyam Muranam. And who fulfilled this prayer? Professor Prabhupada. He preached all over the world with $7, 70 years old, no friends, no money, and changed the whole world. Such a great soul is very real. And if Prabhupada hasn't come to America and preach here,
then how this Krishna consciousness could have spread all over the world. So this is very, very important day that Prabhupada arrived here. I couldn't attend in Kolkata. 20,000 devotees were there. But I was here. I said, let me go and attend here in Boston. The Prabhupada arrived and started this wonderful movement. This movement is wonderful. This is the need of the time. World is more or less finished. But this movement can only save if we become serious and sincere in the hands of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, my name is Chintamani. Srila Prabhupada gave me that name. He said Chintamani means place where Krishna stays, therefore prepare your heart, place for Krishna. So he was giving equal opportunity for women and men to become devotees. And sometimes I think it takes so long to get to India on the plane. When are you going to be there? And then I thought Srila Prabhupada, how he's on the ship for over a month. And as a disciple, we're getting older and things are becoming more difficult. Even the simplest things that Srila Prabhupada came at that age, which really it would be impossible unless one was empowered by the entire parampara, by Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. How it affected me personally, I was praying to Jesus for a year, please help me to find God and, you know, realize the truth. It became an obsession. I became a vegetarian. And I met just one devotee, and he said, why don't you write to Srila Prabhupada? And I wrote a letter asking questions about Jesus. And he wrote back and said, we're devotees of Jesus. And if you just add chanting Hare Krishna, you'll develop your love of God. So I started chanting, looking at pictures of Jesus, because I hadn't seen the deities. And so the very next month, I got initiated. Inside the Hare Krishna explosion, things were happening so fast. I wasn't qualified, and I'm still not qualified, but by His grace, He is pulling us all back. We all have Him as our Shiksha Guru. We all have His instructions. And how has my life changed? Well, I didn't really have a life. I didn't. Without the holy name, there's no life. It's like you're a zombie. You're walking a dead body. And so I got initiated. A couple months later, got married to a stranger because at that time we were going and opening temples, and he wanted a temple in Tokyo. So three of us went to Japan in 1969 and opened the first temple. But we said to a Prabhupada, we don't speak Japanese, and he said, that's okay, never mind. If your house is on fire, you can convey that message. And it's like, okay, that makes sense, you know. We just go and chant. And Srila Prabhupada came two times when I was there because at that time, all the Bhakti Godheads were printed in Japan and also the Krishna book. So my basis is to everyone here, please keep this Krishna consciousness going. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.
Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Uttanamana. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gurubhani Prashani, Nivisesha Sunyavadi, Vastra Chayadasatani. I'd like to thank you all very much for arranging this. My name is Mahavishnu Swami from the UK. And most of you are from America. But I got Prabhupada's significance of Prabhupada's journey on the rebound, so to speak, because Prabhupada sent a fabulous six over to UK, Shamasandra Malati, Gurudas, and Amuna, and Janaki, and Mukunda, who opened the temple in London. Saraswati also. So it was a rebound effect of this journey. And the main significance for me of this journey is that in this Pranam mantra after the Prabhupada that he gave us, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, that just like America, UK, we were just lost in this Nirvishesha Sunyavadi experience. And we had no idea of Krishna. And we didn't know anything about the personality of Godhead. And we were suffering because of this. We were lost in our identity. We didn't know what we were because we didn't know Krishna. So Prabhupada says in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a pinprick in society at large. And yesterday I was going on this Brooklyn Bridge and looking at the Manhattan skyline for the first time. I saw these huge buildings that just don't have in London, and Times Square also. Piccadilly in London is just like a village fate compared to Times Square. And these buildings in Manhattan are just so much bigger than London. And when I came here, I realized, you know, this is the heart of Kali Yuga. It's the heart of Kali Yuga. But there's a pinprick. No, there's a hole in it. And what is that hole? And Prabhupada came in this little steamer, Jaladuta, falling apart. It's now being retired. I think it's been to the scrapyard now. They tried to buy it. They tried to buy Jaladuta. It cost too much. Now it's being scrapped. But Prabhupada, you know, all the American defense forces are like, you know, missile screens and nuclear bombs, everything. Prabhupada just came undercover. Nobody knew he was coming. And he's just going to fill that little hole, that pinprick, with Krishna! See, Krishna Bhagavan King! But nobody knew that Krishna was full of six ordinances. All strength, all wealth, all knowledge, all fame, all renunciation, all duty. Nobody had any idea. And this was missing, you know. That's what everyone was aching for, was a loving relationship with Krishna. And the significance of this journey is that Prabhupada, he came to give Krishna in a really digestible form. He's dancing, chanting, and singing. And it really worked. He had the, you know, he had the formula. He had the heart, he had the purity. He got us chanting. And gradually, because I was on the rebound, he got us chanting in London. But he got us to start realizing his books, the holy name. Krishna book. Krishna book was the first book in London that I saw. But because you realize, yes, there is a supreme personality of Godhead. He is a person. We can meet him face to face one day if we develop our love for him. So for me, this journey is very, very significant. He was destroying, blowing up, you know, just the final nuclear mega bomb of Krishna consciousness to blow up this whole facade of impersonal civilization with Krishna consciousness. So I'm very grateful to be here today. It's Krishna's arrangement. And let us all chant the holy name because Krishna's appeared in Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Krishna Krishna!
Hare Hare!
Hare Hare!
Hare Rama!
Hare Rama!
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Before our next speaker, Pyari Mohan, the temple president, has asked me to make sure that the signing of this, where's the signing for senior devotees? Where's that? I want to tell all of you that Pyari Mohan leaned over and told me that for someone who has a PhD, you certainly don't remember anything I tell you. So while we're having a wonderful reflections here, I want you to know there's some really ugly stuff going on over here. Okay, so I'm the help here, okay? So do we have that around here?
Yeah.
So there is more room for senior devotees to sign this. There's some special inexplicable purpose for this. There's some more over here.
Okay.
Good plan. Pass this. Okay. Anuj Maji.
I just learned that the inexplicable purpose is later when they remind all of us that devotional service is successful when everyone contributes devotional service. And they ask for devotees to consider offering a contribution. The picture that's going around with all the signatures of senior devotees will be copied and given out to those that are able to come forward and offer a contribution. So that's the purpose of that. So they want to make sure.
Explain this.
My name is Anuttama Das, following in my godbrother Anuttama Das's footsteps. I'll just make as I stand up here in the front, because not everybody's going to get to see it from the front. It's a beautiful day, it's a beautiful harbor, it's a beautiful boat, it's a beautiful sky. But I think Prabhupada would say to us all, the faces of the Vaishnavas here, this was really, really beautiful. That's the most beautiful thing. Young, bold, white, black, brown, male, female, saffron robe, red robe, yellow robe, green robe, white robe, and you truly are the fruits. You truly are the fruits of Prabhupada's preaching. We have to share some reflections on the meaning of Prabhupada's journey. We all have our own inner realizations. I just had some thoughts that the meaning of Prabhupada's journey in this event is that he had a vision and that he fulfilled his vision. And what his vision was, as he shared in the beautiful poem that he wrote here in this harbor, was that he had faith that Lord Krishna's holy name and the message of Lord Krishna could change people's hearts. And it could change people's lives, and it could fulfill their needs and their innermost cravings, as we've heard many devotees testify. And we know Prabhupada thought big. We've heard a few stories about that, and we read in Prabhupada Lila Amrita how Prabhupada thought big. There's a story when Prabhupada was in New York, had been there for a few months, and he was beginning to plan going to San Francisco, and the devotees were thinking, well, you're not really going to leave New York, because this is a New York movement. It's the Lower East Side cool thing, and there's no way you're going to go to San Francisco because they're just not able to comprehend it the way we are here in New York. But Prabhupada, his vision was bigger. His vision was San Francisco, and from there the world. And we're all beneficiaries of that. So we're here to celebrate with you, Prabhupada, his voyage out here 50 years ago. And I was thinking that Prabhupada, if we were able to hear Prabhupada speak to us now, I think he'd probably say, important thing happened 50 years ago, good things have happened the last 50 years, what's next? You know, I think of the stories when they opened the Vrindavan temple in India after so much struggle, and then Prabhupada immediately the same day was talking about what's next and more book distribution, and he wasn't ready to sit and say, okay, good job, sit down, take your credit, relax. He's immediately thinking what's next. So for all of us, just a little reminder, what's immediately next is we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Prabhupada's coming, and then next year we're leading up to the 50th anniversary of his movement, which he founded in a city a little bit south of here, not as important a city, we want to find the local people here. When we get there next year, we'll talk about that. But he founded his movement and his society, and it spread all over the world. And I was amazed to see there's devotees here from New York, there's devotees from London, there's devotees from Toronto, there's devotees from Dallas, there's devotees from Florida, there's devotees from Washington, D.C., there's devotees from France, all around the world because of this event here. And next year we should be thinking it's the 50th anniversary of his society. And what can we, just like we know, I'll tell you that you may not know this, a year ago, Calcutta had no plans for the 50th anniversary or Prabhupada's leaving, even maybe 8 months ago. It was like, well, geez, maybe we should do something. And we know they caught on fire with this idea of, hey, it's the 50th anniversary of Prabhupada's leaving in India. We need to make this a big deal. We need to spread the word and let people be aware of it. And in just a matter of a few months, as Radha Swami spoke about, and many of us have seen the videos of Live 4 TV, etc. It was a huge event, 30,000 plus people. The governor of West Bengal, etc. So it was a beautiful event. And I don't want to pop the bubble of any of you, but this boat wasn't planned a year and a half ago. There was a few devotees that came forward and said, hey, we really need to do something big. And they got together and they've organized a fantastic two-day festival for all of us to participate in. How many of you know that the flag of India was raised for the first time on Thursday over City Hall to glorify and show appreciation for Srila Prabhupada's contribution? Isn't that amazing? Srila Prabhupada, and there are many devotees here worked very, very hard at that. And in Priyari Mohan,
Amit's last name is
Amit Dixit, who's been working tirelessly, and so many devotees have been working so hard. And the mayor also made a proclamation that Thursday was His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada Day in Boston. Now, for all of us, the fact is that's past history. It's glorious history. But there's probably 100 cities represented on this bus. There's maybe Maya 4 TV goes all around the world. You count Mars and Venus and all the people who are watching. You know, millions of cities, perhaps. So the question is, have you made a plan to get Prabhupada Day in your city? What are we doing to make sure that in Los Angeles, which is the seat of some of the biggest festivals in the world, and LA devotees are shaking their hands, by Krishna's grace, they're going this way, not that way. Yes. So we need to all be thinking now and planning. We should be thinking, what am I going to do next year? Because we're here appreciating Prabhupada, but it's not that important actually that we're appreciating Prabhupada. In one sense, it's the most important thing. In another sense, it's not. More important is, what about the millions and millions of people that don't know about Prabhupada yet? What about the millions of people that he came to touch their lives that haven't heard the message of Vasudeva the way we have? Haven't heard the mantra and had a chance to associate with devotees and realize what a wonderful opportunity this is. So certainly Prabhupada would say to us, all you've done a good job, but what's next? So I would just request all of us here to be thinking individually, go back to your temple. If you're the temple president, or if you know the temple president, or if you don't know, find out, talk to them. What are we planning? How are we going to make the 50th anniversary a very, very powerful thing? Because people will be watching. When you have a 50th anniversary, people pay attention. And they don't just want to know you're having a birthday. They want to know what differences you made in the world. And what are the differences that you're making? And I know sometimes as a senior devotee, and then I've got gray hair, so I'm a senior devotee. Devotees sometimes say, oh, it was so important what you did, and I missed that opportunity. What was it like in the early days? But that's an illusion, because the early days are going to be for the next 200 or 300 years. We've just scratched the surface. You know, we got one boat full here. The whole city should be proclaiming this, and hopefully 1,500 years from now, boats. That's how big Prabhupada thought. You know, sometimes we think, okay, spread the holy name to every town in the village, so, you know, a Sankirtan van drives through town, yells out the window, Haribo. Okay, check that off the list. You know? And that's not the way Prabhupada saw things. He really wanted to make a difference in people's lives. And we are his legacy. We are all benefited from him. And now we have to continue to take up that spirit and carry it forward. He's not physically present here now, but he didn't want to just see it go on for 10 years or 50 years, 10,000 years. And there's so much more to be done. So we talk about how he's changed the world, but not enough has been done yet. He would tell us that. Not enough has been done. He thinks big. And it depends on all of us and the devotees coming in the future. So I think in terms of the meaning of this event, the most important meaning is we take a deep breath and we realize how fortunate we are, and we become more determined. And as Rompa Swami talked about so beautifully, really take into our heart the compassion that Prabhupada had. We all know where we would be, what a mess we'd be without Prabhupada. In the same way, what about all those other people that just haven't got the message yet? They're still thinking drugs and illicit sex and meat eating and exploiting the material resources can make them happy. They don't know there's anything else. And that's our responsibility. Prabhupada took such a sacrifice, as we've been hearing, to come and save us, or as Guru Gurungapur when I actually said, to save me. So who's going to save all the other meats? It's not just the gurus. It's not just the sannyasis. It's not just the Prabhupada disciples. It's each and every one of us. So I think that's the meaning. How are we going to take it forward? Srila
Prabhupada Ki Jai!
Thank you very much, Anuttamaji. One thing Anuttama failed to mention in the list of dedicated devotees who work so hard for today is me. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I knew you were going to do it.
I just to note.
Humble, right?
Yeah.
Humble me.
Yeah. That's me.
Okay. Hare Krishna. My name is Ambarish Das.
Hare
Krishna. Very nice to be here among so many of my illustrious god brothers and god grandsons and whatever. So my whole family's here. We're very happy to be here. 50 years ago, I was just starting to go to boarding school. So they were grooming me for corporate life. But somebody in a higher power had different ideas, you know. And between boarding school and surrendering to Prabhupada, I had to go through the whole hippie thing. Got pummeled by the whole hippie revolution and, you know, beaten to a pulp. So I was ready when I read Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada's books. And, you know, so she, as many people have said, Srila Prabhupada saved me. I don't think I would be alive today, the way things were going, because I was really directionless. I had no inclination to get involved in working for a car company or really doing much of anything. I was adrift. And, you know, I picked up some of those. I had a friend who became a devotee, and I picked up some of those paperback books, Rajavidya and things like that, Easy Journey. Read those books, and a bell went off in my head. So, you know, by Srila Prabhupada coming here, and I was thinking, you know, he was actually ripped out of his beloved Vrindavan. He was living there so nicely, transcendentally, and he, because of his dedication to his spiritual master and the order of his spiritual master, he left everything behind. Didn't know where he was going, and, you know, no wonder he was so, you know, detached from everything that he became ill, you know. So that was the sacrifice he made. He came here to save us, passed through so many obstacles and illnesses, etc., to give Krishna consciousness to us. So I think of that example so often, and, you know, especially working in Mayapur and the TOBP, for many years we were kind of spinning our wheels. We didn't know if it was going to happen. But I always kept that example in mind. That Srila Prabhupada came here, he had nothing. And he didn't know what was going to happen, but he had the order of his spiritual master. And he hung on to it within his heart, and everything started from there, from that dedication and that love that he had for his spiritual master. So that order that Srila Prabhupada gave to me, I keep it very close to my heart. And, you know, I want to thank everybody, because Srila Prabhupada said he will show your love for me by the way you cooperate. And everybody has pulled together, not only for this 50th anniversary, but also for bringing up the TOVP and Sri Dham Mayapur. We've gone around the world. I have to, like, get on the spokesman, so I just we've gone all around the world. We've gotten so much support from everybody, so I really thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I also wanted to express my gratitude to the leadership of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada has been gone for, I don't know how many years, over 40 years or 37 or whatever. And, you know, somehow or other, ISKCON is still together after being attacked from so many different angles and so many different groups and this and that and the next thing. And somehow or other, the basics of what Srila Prabhupada gave us is still intact. And I want to fall at the feet of all the leaders of ISKCON for helping us and keeping everything intact. This is the gift that Prabhupada gave to us. So not only do we have to spread it, but we have to preserve it also. So I'm really happy to be here today. So thank you very much for allowing me to speak for a couple of minutes. And Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
I'll see.
While we're getting our next speaker, is Srimati and Rukmini available? Srimati, where are you? Rukmini? Oh, yeah, Sumati. I meant, yeah, Sumati, I'm sorry. Sumati's right there. If you can ask that.
Hare Krishna. As a French girl, you were speaking about. My name is Gopaswami Das. This day is a very good day for thinking and glorifying Srila Prabhupada, and also for getting or begging for some inspiration and blessings. Maybe my imagination, but I believe that Srila Prabhupada is somewhere here with us, present, watching very intently and happily, 50 years later, you know, on a boat in Boston Harbor, and we are all on him. I believe he's watching us now. So it's a good day to relate with him. Yeah, it's a happy day. And it's also a good day, as we showed. It's a good day for begging inspiration. For me, one inspiration which I feel is an inspiration of begging for courage. Courage? Courage, yes. We are thinking, we hear about Srila Prabhupada's courage, how he did all that alone, in a simple way, in one sense, very deep, but very simple, personally. And one thing which is difficult in life, for which you need courage, and when you have to tolerate being alone, being forsaken,
yeah,
right? Sometimes even criticized or people being contemptuous, being object of contempt, anyway, being neglected, let's say like that. And it is piercing to the heart when you feel neglected or alone. So that's what Prabhupada, I think about that. He was, of course, you know, by the arrangement, by some divine arrangement, his closest people to his heart, his God brothers, whom he naturally respected and loved, they did not show him any interest in a support, any encouragement. So that must have been, you know, piercing to his heart in such a time where, you know, some encouragement, some support would have been much appreciated and needed. So that we can feel that, certainly. You know, who doesn't feel a little alone sometimes in his duty? Who doesn't feel like forsaken? And today I feel it's good today to beg some strength, some courage, some inspiration from His Divine Grace, who did that, and He must have felt this, you know, being alone. But if He had this feeling, it was like, let's say, secondary to his positive feeling. Srila Prabhupada was very transcendentally positive, jivadai, compassion to the jivas. Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu, Adama Janara Bandhu. Yes, that was his one of his strengths, to overcome whatever, you know, feeling or complaint or what there. Compassion for the jivas. Another one was Namaruchi. I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. then, as we know, Namruchi and Jivadari and Vaishnava Seva. Another one which, you know, Prabhupada showed would help me a lot was this Vaishnava Seva. Which Vaishnava? Which Vaishnava to serve? He was alone. His guru. Shri Guru Charanagati, Ese Uttamagati. This rati is this feeling for one's spiritual master. And Shri Prabhupada was example. And this is also things which probably helped him a lot, much was indeed. So again, that's my feeling. Very happy day. Shri Prabhupada is very happy that, you know, we are here with him today on the boat in Boston. And also, please, Shri Prabhupada, give us, we are drawing from you, from your mercy, some courage, being alone in difficult situations to do our duty also, and certainly everything is possible.
Next to Martin, I understand that Rangavati is here. Oh, I'm sorry, I pronounced your name correctly. Rangavati? It is Rangavati, isn't it? Yes, that is correct pronunciation. Would you like to speak?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrstaya Bhutale Shinati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ati Namane Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prashna Tadesha Tarani. Like I'm sure many of you have, for the past month I've been meditating on Srila Prabhupada being on board the Jalajuta. Actually wishing that somehow I could have been a little happy and helping when I was sick. And but Prabhupada, Krishna arranged that he'd do it alone. Of course he wasn't alone, he had Krishna and he had the holy name and he had the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he had the order of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And he sailed into Boston Harbor and sailed into so many of our hearts and helped us give up our hippie ways. And he said, I came to turn hippies into happies. And he came to give us the holy name. And for me, that was something that was really important. I had actually already, before I met Srila Prabhupada, I had heard the holy name and had been chanting it for singing it. I just thought it was a cinema song, a musical fair. I started singing it after hearing it there and just kept singing it for a couple of years, not knowing what I was doing until I met Prabhupada and his devotees. And then in 1971, I was living here in Boston, and by Krishna's arrangement, I met a young man during the distribution one day who was a senior college student at Northeastern University, and he was a communications major, and he was very attracted to the Krishna book, and he suggested that we, he had a radio program once a week on the college radio station, which actually goes out all over Massachusetts. And so he suggested that we do dramatic readings of the Krishna book stories. So of course we took him up on that, and Satsrupa Maharaj would write the script and we would go to the radio station. I was always Mother Jasoda and Satsrupa Maharaj was Krishna. any of you remember Sahotra, he was whatever demon was in the story of the week. And this college student, he would make like a background tape with different sound effects to go along. So later that year, Srila Prabhupada had gone to New York, and Satsrupa Maharaj took tapes of our radio shows, and he was playing them for Srila Prabhupada. And so Prabhupada was listening to the one of Krishna subduing the Kaliya serpent. And so when Mother Jasoda sees her darling Krishna enwrapped in the coils of this hideous snake, I, playing the part of Mother Jasoda, was screaming Krishna's name. And Prabhupada said to Satsrupa Maharaj, "Stop the tape." He said, "Who is that?" And Satsrupa said, "That's Sumati." And Srila Prabhupada said, "You tell her to cry for Krishna like that all the time."
Yay!
Give us an example
of that cry.
I'm too nervous right now.
Krishna!
He won! Wow!
Sumati was the pujari, crying for Krishna.
The Prabhupada came to bring the holy name, the Maha Mantra, to all of us. And so I just pray that someday I really can cry for Krishna like that all the time. And I pray that I can somehow serve Srila Prabhupada for the rest of forever. Thank you.
Arrivo!
Oh, a little real action going on here. Yes. Hope you're not losing your balance.
Or your lunch.
Okay. Just make some way there.
Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Namane. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivishesha Samyavadi Paschatulesha Tamane. So Garuda Prabhu asked the question, what is the significance of Srila Prabhupada's voyage and arrival here in Boston Harbor to all of us? And I can only think that, remember that Srila Prabhupada said that his Guru Maharaj had given him a suicide mission. And I was thinking that really our lives were really on a suicide path. And in fact, the whole culture, the whole Western culture was a culture on a suicide path, like lemmings just jumping off a cliff. What would I have been without Prabhupada? I think many of us could say we would have just been statistics, some kind of statistic of suicide or this or that or the other thing. Srila Prabhupada came on this boat, and we all know this story of his heart attacks, his seasickness, and he was prepared to give his life, really, in humility and gratitude to his Guru Maharaj. He was prepared to die the way Jatayu died in the story of Lord Ram. Jatayu died, he gave his life serving Lord Ram, and Srila Prabhupada was prepared to die like that for serving his spiritual master and also out of compassion for all of us, these unknown people on the other side of this unknown frontier called America. Srila Prabhupada wrote in his Jaladutta diary, he commented when he was passing through Colombo, he commented on the daring fishermen he was seeing these fishermen jumping into the sea and disappearing and then coming back up and after jumping into the water, almost disappearing and then coming back up. And he was commenting in his diary how these fishermen were so daring, and they were perhaps 10 or 12 miles from their native shore. It struck me so deeply that how very daring Srila Prabhupada was. How I love what Ramaphosa Swami said about the contradictory qualities, his humility, but yet his determination, his dedication, his fearlessness. So he was so fearless to come 5,000 miles from Gaudadesh and take the mission of his Guru Maharaj, and ready to really die at sea, to die in this unknown land for our sake, for the sake of all living beings. In one of Srila Prabhupada's purports, he writes that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he writes that the Supreme Lord is always grateful for the unsophisticated, unconditional service of his devotees. So bhakti is like that. It's a reciprocation of gratitude between the Lord and the devotees. And we hear, we've read that bhakti follows the mercy of the devotee. So Srila Prabhupada ardently prayed in his prayers in this harbor that, you know, I have no knowledge, I have no devotion, I have only strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. Please make the power of my words, make them able to hear my message. He was just praying and begging. He prepared himself begging and crying in the Radhadam Damodar temple at the Sri Advaita Bhavan. We hear these stories. So this is a reciprocation, bhakti following the prayers of the pure devotee and by his mercy, bhakti coming into the hearts of all of us. Srila Prabhupada, I heard in one lecture he was saying, we hear so much preach, 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 but they do not know. You must be empowered to preach. And so if we do want to show our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, preach his mission, let thousands and millions more people understand his message, we really have to pray and cry like he cried and try to spread this Krishna consciousness in his mood of deep humility and gratitude. Thank you very much.
That was Rukmini Devidasi. Now we have a quick reflection from Rangavati, commonly mispronounced as Rangavati.
The question was, how has Srila Prabhupada affected my life, our lives? And I guess I have to spin that and say, how has he not affected my life? In every phase from the time that I joined up until right in this moment, Prabhupada has always been the greatest fortune that I could ever know. I came from a very nice family. I had a very nice parents. And I thought, oh, okay, everything's fine. And then I was hurt somewhere. My heart was very broken one time. And so I looked for a higher power. My father tried to help me, and he couldn't make the pain go away. And I realized at that time what that meant. And later found out it written that he was a fallible soldier. And so at that time I realized I must have real knowledge, real truth. So I prayed very deeply, very fervently, in a field of flowers one day in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And then 2 days later, I was in my Detroit temple. And it was kind of a miracle.
Krishna.
I didn't have any conditions in that prayer. Yeah, I just wanted the truth. I didn't want, I've been reading a lot of yoga, yoga, just different yoga teachers. And I didn't care who it was or where it was. I just wanted the truth. And 2 days later, there I was in Detroit, and I have never been disappointed. Prabhupada has always delivered the truth. He can deliver all of us, anytime, any place, anywhere, from all around the world, every nook, every cranny. I'm just watching Indrajeeva Swami out there in Mongolia chanting, and it's beautiful. A devotee that runs the Sada Sangha said that he's so happy to be there now because the government is allowing the devotees to stay there. So he's going to stay for another month and just preach to devotees in Mongolia. So I, like Amrish, I'd like to just add a little something. I also feel very humbled in the company of my God brothers, dear God brothers and sisters who have given their lives in every single way for all these years to help bring all of you here. And I guess the talk now is the torch is going to you. I was just in a play, Maharaj, I did my first play, and it was Erin Latwa, Chamastri. They had me as grandma, very appropriately. And it was so fun working with those kids. They just knew those lines, zip, like that. In 2 days, they had them all out, and I was like, da, 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 da. I couldn't get my lines. But it was so wonderful, and I think we're in good hands with those kids. So, thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Sarvasiddhi Rat Das. My wife's name is Swayam Prabha Dasan, Devi Dasan. And when we first, I truly believe this in my heart. I've meditated on this for years and years, and that I'm completely convinced that everything that has happened in our life is because of Prabhupada. Every single thing. The things that were like, everything, just everything. The first time that we, since this day, and up to today, right now, the first time that I was in a room with Prabhupada was at the opening of what they called then the New Berkeley Temple. And there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees. And we had entered the movement and we were already a family. Our son, his name was Dara Brahman Das. And we, being new, and Prabhupada there at the temple, we were at the furthest end. There was just a wall and us. And we're all offering our obeisances. We're offering our obeisances to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's tossing out nuts and dried fruit and like that. And our heads, the three of us, our heads are down. And what happened? We heard a little, you know, knocking. And we look up, and in front of each of our heads is an almond. Except for in my wife's, there were two almonds. She was pregnant. And from that day, I can really say, up until right now standing here, all these things happened by Prabhupada's arrangement. Prabhupada said that we should name our children names of Krishna. And so, and Prabhupada, you know, he said, Gurukula. So we sent our Daru to Gurukula. He, you know, graduate of Vrindavan Gurukula. And like that. But we named our other children names of Krishna. We had a daughter. We called her Govinda. Our other son was called Krishna. Our other son is called Narayan. But this is what I have to say about doing this for everyone that can have children and that has children. As time went on and the children had to enter, you know, high school, they were all very, quite charismatic people. They go into the, and they were characters, they go into an auditorium at the high school and the whole high school erupts. Yay, Krishna! Yay, Krishna! Govinda worked in the office, on the speaker all the time. Will Govinda please report to the office? Will Govinda please report to the office? So please, name your children simple names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very good.
Our last speaker.
Om Gyana Kim. Oh, my name is Virat Swami. Om Gyana Kimiram Dasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nivitanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Sri Chaitanya Manobishta Satitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Tadakisva Kadantikam Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Viti Namani Namaste says that he day may a Gauravani Pacharini, Yavishim Shav Shunyapati, Paschati Dishatari. Srila Prabhupada's voyage from India to America means so many things to me and to all of us. 50 years ago, I was a freshman at Brandeis University, which is here in the Boston area, and we were given a choice as new entrants to go on a field trip, and one of the field trips was to the waterfront here. It was like about this time in 1965. But I thought, oh, what's going to be there? It's just going to be some fishmongers and lobster mongers. So I went somewhere else. And now, 50 years later, I'm here in this most auspicious assembly. I was looking for a guru. I tried to find him in so many places, and whoever it was, I felt this is not my perfect master. And I became so hopeless after trying so many different people in so many different places that I thought I'm not going to find him. And then at Brandeis University, I saw a poster, lecture, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Bhaktivedanta Swami. And by then it was like, oh. So I had plans that evening to come to Harvard Square. But something in my heart just pushed me that you must go. And all my friends were, oh, why, you know, we already planned to go to the movies in Harvard Square. But I think it's Prabhupada's prayer. I really think it's Prabhupada's prayer that Krishna would not let me missed the lecture. And one of the friends just couldn't take it. You know, why do you always have to be running after these swamis and yogis? Why can't you be normal like other people? And I just blurted out, okay, this will be the last one I ever go to. So then, but so then every night I would go to hear Srila Prabhupada. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday he would speak at the temple, the storefront, 95 Glenville Avenue. And Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday he would speak outside, usually at a university, but sometimes somewhere else. One talk he gave at the Arlington Street Church, and after the talk I was standing out on the steps in front of the church, and Prabhupada walked out, and he started talking to me, saying that you know, you're not this body, this is a very important point, and And I had so many conceptions or misconceptions. I thought, oh, you know, the guru's not supposed to go to the disciple. The disciple's supposed to go to the guru. But then I realized that that's what Srila Prabhupada has been doing at every stage. And he's been doing it with all of us. You know, he came to Boston. You know, he came to Brandeis. He came in our hearts. And one experience that came later really does, to me, encapsulate a lot of what Prabhupada did and what we're meant to do. This was in Calcutta, and at the time, the temple was in a very bad state. The devotees didn't have money, and no one was really looking after the devotees, and it was really quite a bad situation. Just to give a little idea, there was one devotee in the temple named Sudama Vipra, who had been a biker. He had a real strong, big body, but he was so famished, he would take the ghee lamps after the arti, and whatever little ghee was left, he would like squeeze it out or just rub it and just try to get some nourishment. So the devotees were just waiting for Srila Prabhupada to come, and eventually he came, and he called a meeting with all the devotees, and he listened very patiently and very sympathetically to what everyone said, and then he gave some suggestions that there should be a committee. They should meet every week. They should just all discuss all the problems. They should write down what they resolve, and they should follow it. But then his mood seemed to change, and he said that we should not be too absorbed in these material situations, because our tendency is to think about and talk about material things. And if we become too absorbed in them, we will neglect to think of Krishna and speak about Krishna. And then he said, my policy was always everything for Krishna and nothing for myself. And therefore I never complained. And then he described how he had come to America, he had suffered two heart attacks at sea, and even in America he had so many physical ailments. He said, I don't even wish to discuss how much I suffered, but I never complained because my policy was always everything for Krishna and nothing for me. So I think from this I'm extracting two lessons for us individually and collectively. One is we should obviously aspire for that mood, everything for Krishna, nothing for me, and be like Prabhupada did and exemplified and taught. But also to take care of the devotees. He didn't minimize the care of the devotees. He wanted us to meet and discuss the problems and try to make solutions. And I think this is also a very important point, so that we don't have devotees coming and going. Many devotees have come, and a lot of them have gone. And I'm thinking that the basis of the great things that Prabhupada achieved and wants us to achieve are the small things, as one saint is supposed to have said. We cannot do great things. We can only do small things with great devotion. And Srila Prabhupada did that for us. I mean, I have my own stories, but there's not time for that. But he really took personal care of each of us, and even devotees who didn't have that much personal association. He gave them so much. In India, most of us had quite a lot of association with Srila Prabhupada compared to other places. But hearing the accounts of devotees who might have just seen Srila Prabhupada once, but just one word or one glance or one gesture conveyed so much meaning and has sustained them in their spiritual lives ever since then. So Srila Prabhupada is, in that way, he's like Krishna, that he was there for everyone. He's like the most intimate friend of each and every devotee. Each and every devotee felt they had a very intimate personal connection with him. And they did. And they do. We do. So I don't know where I would be, not only without Srila Prabhupada, but without all of you. I mean, there's no way, I couldn't survive for a moment without the association of all of you, God brothers and God sisters, and all followers of Srila Prabhupada. And I just pray that, like Garuda Prabhu said, underneath the prettiness of the celebration, there's some ugliness, some ugly things going on. And there are. I mean, that's why we need each other, and I got a lot in my heart. So I'm really praying to continue in this association of sincere followers of Srila Prabhupada, so that all together we can help each other along and go back home, back to Godhead, and bring as many others with us as we can. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.